Thank you, Carol. What a wonderful song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. This passage is an amazing passage. We read in Luke, and of course we just finished up with the Easter season and been thinking a lot about Christ dying on the cross and of course his resurrection. But amazing words in verse 34, absolutely amazing. And then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What amazing forgiveness that is. I mean, Jesus has been beaten, and I mean, he's, as we've described the crucifixion, no man has died such a death as Jesus died when he died at the crucifixion. And before he dies, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's amazing. "Father, forgive them." He not only says that to those who beat him, but everybody around, and he looks into the future, and he offers forgiveness to you and I. "Father, forgive them." Amazing, amazing words. And yet, in Colossians 3:13 is, I think, another amazing passage in light of what we just read. Colossians, if you'll go back to that, Colossians 3 and verse 13. And not only does Jesus say, "Father, forgive them," but he tells us that we're supposed to forgive one another. He says, forbearing one another. What's that mean? That means putting up with one another, bearing with one another, putting up with all the weird things that we do to one another, all of the unkind things we do, and all of the mistakes we make with each other. He says, forbearing one another and, oh my, forgiving one another. And he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let me just say, that is not a recommendation. That is a command. That is not God saying, here's something that will help you, which, by the way, it will help you. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, this is what you need to do. He says, so also do ye. Wait a minute. As he did? Yes, as Christ forgave you. You talking about when he was hanging on the cross? And you're talking about as he hung there, beaten and bloodied, and his beard pulled from his face, and his hands nailed to the wood beam, and his feet nailed to the bottom beam, and you're talking about as men have cursed him and spat upon him and called him every name. You're talking about I'm supposed to forgive like when he forgave them. That's exactly right. I'm not sure, and I think Brother Donnelly said something about this. I'm not sure anyone of us could say anyone has done anything as bad as what was done to Jesus on the cross. I mean, we have people all over this room who have been done wrong. We have people who've been hurt and unjustly. We have people that have gone through some tough times and because of other people, and some have suffered financially, and some have suffered physically, and some have suffered mentally, and some have suffered emotionally, but I don't think anybody could say they have suffered like Jesus did when he hung on that cross. And he said, "Father, forgive them." And God says, "That's how I want you to forgive each other." You say, "Well, you don't understand, preacher. So-and-so, they said something bad about me." Do you suppose that's as bad as Jesus hanging on that cross? I want to talk to you about these words, as Christ forgave you. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Thank you for the good music. I'm so glad you care for me. And I'm so glad you've forgiven me. And you offered that forgiveness before I even asked for it. And I thank you so much for that. Help us to learn some things today. Help us to listen on purpose. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Christ forgave you. Now you need to think about those words. As Christ forgave you. You think about those words, but you cannot think about those words without doing it justice and going back to the cross and imagining Jesus hanging on that cross and saying those words, Father, forgive them. I mean, you cannot do it justice to just say, okay, well, I'll forgive like Jesus forgives and just kind of pass it off. It's not something to pass off. It's something to think about. He wants us to forgive as He forgave us. He wants us to forgive. Now, it's interesting in Colossians, it says, if any man have a quarrel against any, and I thought about all over this room, there's folks having quarrels all the time. I mean, we're quarreling with, maybe it's a child quarreling with their parent, maybe a teenager. They seem to do that every now and then. Maybe it's somebody having a quarrel with their boss. Maybe you're having a quarrel with God. In counseling, I run into people all the time that are mad at God, blame God for everything that's gone wrong in their life. Maybe it's a quarrel with a coworker. Maybe it's a quarrel with a church member. Maybe it's someone you used to call friend, and you're quarreling. Could be a sibling. Could be over some kind of a financial deal with someone. Maybe it's a stranger, a neighbor you're quarreling with. Could be you're quarreling with gossips, people that have said bad things about you and lied about you and slandered your name. Could be a quarrel maybe with a teacher. Maybe it's a quarrel with a preacher. But at any rate, you feel somebody has wronged you. God says you're supposed to forgive them. Boy, it gets quiet. Now, you know, it's so easy for us to say, boy, Jesus hung on that cross and He said, Father, forgive them. And we rejoice over that. But He says that's what we're supposed to say to those who hit us. That's what we're supposed to do for those who curse our name. That's what we're supposed to do to those who have hurt us and brought sorrow in our lives and have damaged our reputation and have done wrong to us. We're supposed to say, Father, forgive them. Now, I don't think anybody here has been beaten and hung on a cross. But we do have quarrels with one another. We do have quarrels in our families. We do have quarrels. It's sad. God says we're supposed to forgive. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hosea. And I've used this illustration many times, and I think it's a wonderful illustration of forgiveness in the Bible. Hosea chapter 1. And Hosea illustrates God's forgiveness for people. And remember, God's forgiveness, again, we love that. I mean, we think about God forgiving us, and we're so excited about it. God forgave me. I remember at the age of 17 when I got saved, and I realized God has forgiven me. I've sinned against Him, but He's forgiven me. What a wonderful truth that is. I mean, that's a great, great thing when you realize God's forgiven you. But then He turns it around and says, now, like I've forgiven you, you need to forgive everybody around you. You mean that coworker that talks bad about me? You mean that person that took my money? You talking about that person that did me wrong as when I was just a child? Are you talking about those people that performed a crime against me? You saying, I got to forgive. That's what God said. It was a crime that He hung on a cross. It's a shame He had to die on the cross for us. I don't know of anyone who could be done more wrong than Jesus was. He did nothing wrong. And yet He said, Father, forgive them. Yeah, that's how we're supposed to forgive. But I think a great illustration to bring it to something maybe we can understand a little bit better. You know, inevitably somebody would say, well, that's God. God can forgive. By the way, the only way you're going to be able to forgive is with His forgiveness. You're not going to be able to just forgive everybody like Jesus hanging on the cross. And as we are commanded to forgive, you're not going to be able to do that on your own. You're going to need His help.
And I know that in dealing with this, and the Bible talks about bitterness and talks about how bitterness will destroy your life. And I guarantee there's people in this room who have been robbed of joy because of something that happened to you years ago, and you become bitter over that thing, and it eats at you, and it eats at you, and it bothers you. And you're mad at God, and you're mad at people, and you're mad at the church, and you get mad at everybody around you. And until you get that settled with God, you're going to continue to be robbed of the joy God has for your life. But you're not going to do it without God's help. It is not something that we have the ability in and of ourselves to do. It is something that we need supernatural help from God to be able to forgive people as God did. But there was a man that shows us exactly how tough it is, but how it can be done. And that is Hosea, way back in the Old Testament, right after the book of Daniel. And in the book of Hosea, we learn of Hosea, who was a faithful preacher. And the book of Hosea are the sermons that he preached to Israel, illustrated by his life. He's preaching messages, but he's living a life that literally is teaching them the messages that he's trying to preach. And in this book of Hosea, we see hints of the story of his life, and it's an amazing love story. And by the way, where there's real forgiveness, there's lots and lots of love. And this is an amazing story. And he wanted to show Israel an amazing love story, the love of God for them. You see, Israel just kept sinning and God forgave. And they sinned and God forgave. And they sinned and God forgave. And God is saying to them through the story of Hosea, I love you and I'll forgive you. I wish you'd love me. But I'm showing you today just to show you how you can forgive. It's an amazing story. Hosea's wife, according to the scripture, her name is Gomer. That's a strange name for a wife. But the Bible says in verse 3, he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And at first, I would imagine all was well with their lives, but it wasn't long, and his wife Gomer became flirty with other men and actually went on dates with other men. And the Bible says she committed whoredoms, and finally she became, according to chapter 2 and verse 5, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Literally, Hosea's wife, here's this man, he's a preacher, he's out giving out gospel tracts, she's out selling her body to wicked, perverted men, and Hosea is finding himself in a very, very difficult trial. What is he going to do? And obviously, in the book of Hosea, we have God, of course, being the God of forgiveness. And we also see how God could forgive sin. And certainly, that is illustrated very clearly in that. But we also see Hosea being a man of forgiveness. And he illustrates how he was able to forgive and how, in a good way, to forgive. And we can learn from it how we can forgive as well. And it's as Christ forgave. And it's an amazing kind of forgiveness. You see, if Jesus could forgive me, surely I could forgive anything anybody does to me. If Hosea could forgive his wife, and he does in the scripture. I mean, she became a harlot. And he forgives her. Oh, there's folks in this room, you're holding on to something. Well, I'm not going to forgive him. I'll never forgive him. I'll die hating that person. And you'll die miserable. You can forgive, and you need to forgive. God commands that we forgive. I'll never forget, and I've told this before, but it was a Wednesday night service. We were talking about this in Sunday school. The preacher was preaching on something. I do not believe it was forgiveness. Most of my main decisions that I've made were not made because of the message being preached. It was because God used the message somehow to speak to me about something else. And I remember on a Wednesday night in Bible college, the preacher preaching on something, and God said, you need to forgive your parents of some things that happened. And I said, there's no way. He said, you'll never be a pastor. You'll never be able to be effective preaching the gospel if you can't forgive.
I'll never forget that night going to the altar in tears and laying that bitterness on the altar. Boy, what a blessing that was. And saying, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I've held bitterness, and I want to be used. I want to be used by you, God. I'm telling you, you'll never know the joy of the salvation that God has for you until you forgive people. Until you forgive. You say, well, I've been done wrong. Have you been done worse than Hosea? His wife became a harlot. Have you been done worse than Jesus who hanged on a cross? Forgive. I'm talking about forgiving people at work. I'm talking about forgiving your family. I'm talking about forgiving someone you used to call friend. I'm talking about forgiving people in the church. I'm talking about biblical forgiveness that is lost in our churches today. It's lost among Christians today. You know, you ought to be able to look anybody in the eyes and shake their hand and say, I'm glad you're here. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care how bad it has been. It does not matter. You ought to be able to look people in the eye and say, you know what, at least in my heart, I know that I've forgiven them. I know I'm right with God as far as that. Let them talk. Let them do what they will. I have forgiven them. Let me just show you this kind of forgiveness and then we'll be done. Number one, it is essential. It is essential. God commanded it. No question about it. In the Christian life, you say, well, I know we're not supposed to steal. I know we're not supposed to get drunk. I know we're not supposed to take drugs. I know we're not supposed to commit adultery. I know we're not. Guess what? There's another thing in here. It says we are to forgive. And it is just as serious as not taking drugs. It is just as serious as not getting drunk. It is just as serious as not committing immorality. I'm telling you, it's a command of God. It is essential that we forgive one another. It is essential that you forgive mom and dad. It is essential that you forgive that teenager. It is essential that you forgive that neighbor. It is essential that you forgive those people at work. It is essential that you go back 25 years if you need to and forgive in your heart somebody who wronged you. It's essential. It's God's nature to forgive. By the way, once sin was paid for, he had to forgive. His word called for that. Hosea was a preacher whose wife became a harlot. But he knew there was something even more at stake than his own reputation, who certainly would be very, very difficult for him to preach the word with a wife like that. But he knew without forgiveness, he would lose God's blessing on his life. He knew that he had to forgive. Look at Matthew 6, verse 14. Keep your place there in Hosea. We'll go back. Matthew 6 and verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It is essential. This isn't talking about salvation, but the Bible does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Understand, unforgiving spirit is iniquity. Just like stealing, just like lying, just like cussing, just like drinking, just like taking drugs, there is no difference. We sit in church and we're squeaky clean as far as everybody can tell, and our lives are squeaky clean. But in our heart, we have an unforgiving spirit. We are disobeying God by guarding iniquity. Let me show you something. Matthew 18, verse 23. I know I've made reference to this before. I don't believe I've ever preached on this. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, now here's this guy, he's just been forgiven, but now he won't forgive. And he takes the guy by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest.
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? If Jesus forgave us what we've done, shouldn't we also forgive? That's what he's saying. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The word tormentors there is just like a collection agency. I don't know if you've ever had them after you, but they will drive you nuts. They literally will torment you. And I believe these tormentors here, I believe it's angelic beings, possibly demons, that will torment and torment and torment with bitterness and with hatred and with pain and with sorrow. And it's no wonder you don't have joy. It's no wonder. It's no wonder you don't do anything for God. Because that bitterness is the most important thing. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Notice he says, from your hearts. Because it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to really do it. It's one thing to say, all right, fine. You know, you've had your kids do that. All right, tell them you're sorry. Sorry. Tell them you forgive them. I forgive you. And you know, you may do that. I'm telling you today, we need a revival of forgiving one another. We need a revival of God's people doing what Jesus did when he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to do that. By the way, they know not what they do. Do you know that most offenses against us, the person knows not what they do? Now, I'm not talking about, there are some terrible things that have happened to people in this room, that people, wicked, vile, perverted people have done, and they're terrible things. You're supposed to forgive them. But I'm saying so many of the things that you're angry about, there's people in this room fighting with each other. Relatives, friends. You fight with one another, and you have no idea what the fight's even about anymore. It's been going on so long. Right? But I'm telling you, it is essential that we forgive. God commanded it. God did not recommend it. He commanded it. It is essential. Number two, it is extensive. What's that mean? That means you forgive everything. It's extensive. Do you know Jesus offered forgiveness before we ever asked for it? Covered everything. Covered it all. Everything. Well, I might forgive this, but I'm not going to forgive this. It's extensive. The forgiveness that God offered us, I mean, do you understand? He forgave murderers. I don't know, we all think that is maybe the worst thing. Somebody kills somebody. You understand? Murder can be forgiven. Father, forgive them. They murdered him. They took a cat of nine tails and whipped him till the flesh hung in ribbons from his body. His forgiveness is extensive. It's extensive. Hosea, amazing, amazing. As you read it, he marries Gomer. They have a child. She becomes a harlot. She wanted more money. She wanted more things, clearly. It says in chapter 2. And Hosea just kept saying, I love you. Would you come home to me? Study the book of Hosea sometime. It'll break your heart as you think about that happening. And by the way, none of us could even imagine that. Good night. We dump spouses nowadays because they clip their toenails in the living room. I mean, we get divorced nowadays over some of the most foolish stuff in all the world. I'm not against any of you, and you know that, and I'm for you. I'm just saying this. We don't even understand the kind of love Hosea had for his wife. But he wanted God's hand upon him. He had to forgive, and he had to forgive where God knew he forgave from his heart. I can imagine Hosea would go to the places where his wife was working and literally beg her to come home. That's extensive. And by the way, that's no conditions. That's, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's amazing. I mean, people all the time say, well, I'd forgive them if... No, listen, forgiveness is, I forgive you. I forgive you. Well, if you'd give me a couple $1,000, I'll forgive you. No. It's no conditions. Look real quick. Keep your place in Hosea. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice that. For Christ's sake. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How can I forgive these people? How can I? I mean, it's so bad what they've done, and they keep doing it to me. For Christ's sake, that's how. You do it for Christ's sake. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah, but they were terrible. My parents, they beat me when I was little, or somebody did something wrong to me. How can you do it for Christ's sake? Not because they're right. Not because you did anything wrong. But you're doing something wrong if you disobey God and you don't forgive. You just need to forgive. You just need to let it go and give it to Him. How? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. You say, well, preacher, you're a pastor. You never have any. I've been done as wrong as anybody in this room. Time after time after time. Not necessarily by church members, but I'm just saying in life. In life. Every now and then somebody say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, someday, maybe when we get to heaven, you can know, and you wouldn't say that. I can preach what I'm preaching because I've had to practice what I'm preaching, and I've had to practice it in ways that are just, it's just amazing, and in ways that I never thought that I would be able to do. And I can't do it on my own, but I can do all things through Christ. How do you do it? For Christ's sake, that's how. For Christ's sake. It is essential. It is extensive. Number three, it is endless. Why? Because you keep being done wrong. It's endless. You just keep forgiving. The Bible says 70 times 7 and then some. Keep forgiving. Hosea had her first child, Gomer had her first child by Hosea, and it was Hosea's child. But her second child was born out of whoredom, the Bible says. And Hosea gets that child and takes care of that child. And then there was a third child born out of whoredom. And Hosea takes care of that child the same. He takes on the responsibility of those children that were not his. Are you listening? You say, well, it's just a story. But it was a real human being that happened to. You say, well, I don't know how I can do that. You can't do it on your own. You can do it through Jesus Christ. And He treated those children just like they were His. Notice chapter 2 and verse 2.
back in Hosea. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Plead with your mother. You understand? Hosea taught those children to love their mother and to plead with their mother. Now, he could have been bitter. I know in many divorce cases, I mean, good night, and this isn't even a divorce case, but I mean, they're apart. She's a harlot. I mean, he wants her to come home. That's an amazing thing. But in many cases, we'll try to turn the kids against each parent, and not Hosea. Why? Because he's learned to forgive. She wasn't even raising her own children. But I guarantee, as they went through the streets of the city, and there she was standing on her corner, Hosea would say, there's your mommy. You need to love her. Pray for mommy. Pray she'll come home. Pray for her. You see, there's no limit when you have a forgiving heart given to you by the Lord. An unforgiving spirit causes all kinds of problems. Homes split, churches split, friendships split. I'm saying today, real forgiveness, God-like forgiveness, it's extensive, it's endless, and God says it's essential. But number four, you need to understand it's expensive. It is expensive. To forgive, there's a cost. Christ died on the cross to provide forgiveness. He became a sacrifice. He shed his blood so we could be forgiven. The Bible in Hosea goes on and talks more about Gomer. And as she got older, she was not wanted as much, and she began to run out of money, and she became poor. And she was on the street. And eventually, she ended up in the slave market for sale. Nobody really wanted her. And the Bible doesn't say, and I really don't know what happened, but I speculate that maybe one of the children saw her up for sale one day. Their mother. Daddy, you got to understand, they're selling mom. She's for sale. She could be taken out of the country, and who knows what will happen to her. And Hosea, I believe, got very excited. Chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. He put together every dime that he had to buy back his wife. You say, oh, I wouldn't want her. Yeah, I understand that. Just like you don't want that person that did you wrong. Just like you won't even let them come to your house. Just like you won't even visit with them. You won't even write their letter. You won't even answer letters from them. Just like you won't even come near them in the church. You avoid them. I understand what you're talking about. Every dime he had. They say 15 pieces of silver today would be about $150,000 to $200,000. By the way, the going price of a person back then was about 30 pieces of silver. There was one chance for Hosea. I can imagine the bidding when it began, maybe came with something like, who wants this hag? Who wants this used woman? Hosea said, I'll take her. I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. But that is what happened. But to be honest with you, I don't understand God loving me, Brother Jared. I don't understand Him giving His own blood for me. I don't understand that at all. Who wants this hag? And Hosea says, I'll give 15 pieces of silver. And I'm sure the crowd all said, why? You got to be kidding. That's what Jesus said. He said, I'll give all I have. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Even as Christ hath forgiven you. even as. That's how I'm supposed to forgive. You know, it's one thing to say, I love God and I love God's people. It's another to show it. How can we, book of 1 John, how can we say we love God but we don't love His people? Well, they did me wrong. Somebody did this. They did that. And we're supposed to forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, it is expensive. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go of that place you go. And you get angry and mad and you're going to have to just let it go and lay it on an altar and say, well, I forgive them. Then the last thing, number five, it is effective. I think the greatest way in the world, or one of the greatest ways to win someone, is to forgive them. I mean to change somebody, to forgive them. But I can't believe they're like that. I understand that, and people are sinful. But the greatest way to win somebody to so that their life is changed is to forgive them. That's what God did to us. I still, to this day, it amazes me that He forgave me. I can't even believe that. And He does it over and over again. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I suppose, I don't know if a day goes by that I'm not saying, God, I'm sorry, I blew it again. I'll tell you what, that changes me. Because I know how much He loves me. He forgave me. I read about Him dying on the cross. We have the Lord's Supper, and I'm thinking about Him dying on that cross. And just before He dies, He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think, you know, there's people all over the place that I have been angry with, but they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't realize those words would hurt. They didn't realize that bit of gossip was gonna hurt me. They didn't realize that action was gonna cost. They didn't understand, you see. Oh, if Christ could forgive me, I can forgive them. And I'm telling you, the fact that Christ could forgive me, that's been effective in my life. I'm drawn to Him because He's willing to forgive me and love me in spite of what I've been to Him. I would think that Hosea's wife, when she heard Hosea's voice and he bid 15 pieces of silver, can you imagine what she must have thought? There wasn't anybody else bidding as far as we know. Could you imagine? Maybe she went to his arms and said, I'll go home now. Maybe she wanted to many, many times and thought about it many times before. Maybe that's how it is with your loved one. They've wanted you to hold them again. They've wanted you to visit them again. They've wanted to be close to you again. Maybe that's the way it is with that person who used to be your friend. They've wanted to be back as a friend again. But you know, one thing about Gomer, now she knew how much Hosea loved her. Said, well, she doesn't deserve it. I understand that. And neither do I. I don't deserve his love either. And that person that did you wrong, guess what? They don't deserve your forgiveness either. Do you understand? Your forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. But it could change them. I still clearly remember calling my parents that night after I'd gone to the altar and wept. I still remember telling my father how much I loved him and that I'd forgiven him for things that I'd held against him for years. And Dad was not saved at that time. In fact, he was very, very angry about me being at Bible college and being a preacher. But I remember for the first time hearing what I thought over the phone, I thought Dad was weeping. I wonder if Dad ever would have gotten saved if I had not forgiven him. I don't know. I remember calling Mom and telling her, and my past was pretty tough. In fact, some of the kids here, many of the young people here, I can understand what you go through when there's divorce and there's alcohol and all that in the home. But I remember Mom crying, and wasn't long after that, Mom got saved. I'm just saying, forgiveness is effective because it's right. Forgiveness is effective because it's right. And I know it's effective because it's affected my life when he forgave me. Won't you think about what he did for you? He's hanging on the cross. He's beaten. He's bloody. And he says, Father, forgive me, for they know not what they do. Hosea, I suppose when I get to heaven, I'll be able to ask him a little more about that. Because it is an amazing story. And I've just kind of gone through it quickly. It's an amazing story, but you know what? Hosea, as a human being, could not do that. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Some of you, this whole sermon, because I've sat through sermons like this, somebody's face is in your mind right now. Somebody, you are thinking of somebody, you are thinking of several somebodies, and you have, from the moment we read the scripture, and you knew it was about forgiveness. And you know what you need to do. And until you do, I'm telling you, those tormentors are going to torment you just like a collection agency torments people. They're after their money. The tormentors are going to torment you with that. You are not going to be able to be effective for God. I remember sitting there as a preacher boy thinking, I am not going to be able to be in the ministry until I get this settled. You know what? If you're thinking that, you're right. You're not going to be able to have the joy of your salvation until you obey God and forgive. I don't care what people have done, forgive. As Christ forgave. Let's bow our heads, please.